Hey, what's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast.
That it is.
Do we have any news?
I don't think so. When you guys are listening to this, we are going to post a bonus episode about Lauren Smith Fields, because I am just like enraged by this case. Yeah. And I want to put, there's almost nothing that we know, so it's going to be a really short bonus episode, but I want it to have its like own episode so that if people are searching for her name, it'll come up. So that will probably be out the day after you guys are listening to this, so keep be on the lookout for that. And also, we are so sorry about the last episode not being available on Apple, if that's where you listen. Apple has been extremely frustrating, and it's not, basically they said that the audio wasn't like optimized, but it literally is the
same thing we've always done.
Yeah, so I'm in the process of fixing that. Hopefully by the time you guys listen to this, that episode will be fixed on Apple, but we're always available on all platforms, so I appreciate your guys' patience with that. Everyone has been so nice and like letting us know and being patient, so appreciate that. Thank you guys. And I don't think there's really any other updates.
And you can listen on Spotify without having, like, an account. So,
yeah,
if you're still, like, unable to listen on Apple, go check us out on Spotify. Because I always thought you had to have an account for Spotify, but you don't.
Yeah, you don't. You can just download the app. I know. I was really upset because I posted a video about it on my TikTok about the Amy Lynn Bradley case. And the video has, like, is, like, doing pretty well. So, a lot of people want to listen to the episode, and then it's not freaking available
on
Apple.
Yeah,
I was so mad, but hopefully it's fixed now, so hopefully you guys will be able to listen to it now. And we're sorry about that.
Yeah, it's not our fault.
No, I did everything the same, but
it's annoying. Fine. Technology is annoying.
It is. I'm literally like the Ross. I'm fine. I don't know why it's coming out all loud and squeaky, because really, I'm fine. That's how I feel right now. Anyway.
Exactly. Okay. Well, then that is all the news that we have. I guess we can jump right into the episode. So today I am going to be covering the, I guess it's a disappearance. I mean, it's kind of a crazy story. With a semi-resolved ending.
Okay.
But I'm covering the disappearance of Anne Marie Fahey. And I've looked up her last name like 7 times. And I keep like wanting to say Fahey, Fahey. So if I say it wrong throughout the episode, I do apologize. But I'm going to try to remember it's Fahey.
Fahey.
Yes.
I don't think I've... That, like, that last name sounds really familiar, but I don't think I've heard this case.
I've never heard this case myself, and I was, again, looking for a disappearance where the people get, you know, get to come home at the end.
Right.
And I saw this one, and it doesn't quite end that way, but I wanted to share it just because, again, haven't heard about it. And I always feel like if I haven't heard about it, chances are a lot of other people haven't heard about it. And unfortunately, she is still missing, potentially, probably deceased. So Anne Marie was 28 years old in 1994 when she met Tom Capano, who was a lawyer that worked with the governor of Delaware. Anne Marie had also recently begun working in the governor's office as the scheduling secretary. She was, by all accounts, liked by everyone that knew her. The then 28-year-old could walk into a room and would just naturally grab the attention of everyone in the room. Like, she was just very bubbly, very outgoing. She had a smile, like a big smile that could just make you smile, like contagious, you know?
Right. I can totally picture that.
Yeah. And she was very pretty, like typical, like 90s big hair, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah. I'm going to look up a picture of her. Anne Marie.
Very pretty. Fahey. F-A-H-E-Y.
Yep, found her. Oh, wow. She is gorgeous.
Yeah. Like, pretty white, you know, straight white teeth, like, the whole nine. Yeah,
just gorgeous.
Yes. So, it didn't take long for Tom to notice her as well, despite the fact that he was married and almost 20 years her senior. So, I think he was 46.
Okay.
At the time that they met, which is, like, whatever, do you, like, but you're married, so don't do you that much.
Yeah.
So soon after, Tom and Anne-Marie began to have an affair. Kind of saw where that was going.
Yep.
Even though this was like new territory for Anne-Marie and she did not really feel comfortable in the beginning being, you know, involved with a married man, she did eventually accept the fact that she was Tom's mistress.
Okay.
So much like many people who are cheating, he did claim that his marriage was basically over. And that he was planning to eventually leave his wife and children.
Oh.
Yeah. Little did Anne-Marie know that this was not Tom's first affair. He had cheated on his wife many times. He was married for 26 years. And he had a 15-year-long affair with a woman named Deborah.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's a long affair.
That's like
affair.
A whole life.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, real classy guy, top notch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, typical, like, he's got money, he's got power.
Right.
I can do whatever the hell I want to do.
Right. He just thinks he's all that.
Yeah. I can get away with whatever.
That's sick.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, soon enough, Anne-Marie fell in love with this married older man, and they continued their affair for over 2 years. They would take vacations together. Like one of their like spots was Virginia randomly.
Oh,
I don't know. I guess because it's like political, you know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I guess that kind of makes sense.
He would probably go on business trips and take her along.
Right.
And if Anne-Marie needed something, Tom would provide it for her. So like, you know, if she needed a bill paid or something along those lines. But he would also treat her to fancy dinners and buy her, like, extravagant gifts and flowers on the regular.
Okay. I mean, how could you not fall in love with him if he's doing shit like that? Like,
and you're, like, 28. Like, you know, you're still kind of, you know, naive, I guess, a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, and I feel like love is such a crazy thing, too. And if you've never, like, experience somebody that loves you and you're being treated so amazingly like that, like, even if you know that he might be a shit bag, you're probably ignoring all of that because you're in love with him. I mean, I've been there. I'm pretty sure you've been there. Like, a lot of us have been there, and
we've all been in love with a shit bag.
Yeah.
There's like I didn't really dive into her like upbringing and her like family life and stuff like that, but there was some reports that I read that like she had a really hard childhood and like her family was not very wealthy, and so all of this stuff was probably very exciting for her.
Right.
I would imagine, especially like having a man buy you gifts and stuff like I know that makes anyone feel good, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Anne-Marie would often fantasize about the day that he would finally leave his wife for her. In a diary entry written on April 24th, 1994, so this would be just, I guess, a few months after they started their affair, she wrote, "I am afraid because I'm in love with a man who has a family. I fantasize about my life with him all the time. He is gentle, intelligent, handsome, and interesting." Tom did eventually leave his wife of 26 years and his four daughters in September of 1995. So this was like a little while later, but he did eventually leave his wife.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
For her?
I guess, I mean, yeah, that would be the assumption. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they were still having their affair at this time.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, at this time, she's claiming he's gentle, he's intelligent. He was not handsome, but, you know, whatever. That's, everyone's got a different type.
Yeah. To each
and
their
again,
own.
He's an older man. I could see, you know, how she could find that interesting and, you know, fall into that little trap, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
However, their relationship could be very toxic and volatile. Mm. So it wasn't this cookie cutter, you know, romance where everything was perfect. There was some stuff going on.
Oh, no.
Tom would frequently gaslight Anne-Marie. He would break her down by picking on her insecurities. He would make her return the gifts that he had given her. But then he would turn around and tell her how sorry he was and how much he needed her and more or less apologize for what he had done. So basically he would break her down and build her back up.
And if that isn't the fucking definition of narcissistic piece of shit, that's emotional abuse.
It is. And he was taking advantage of her because she was young, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's like cookie cutter emotional abuse. That is disgusting. That makes me so fucking mad.
Yeah. And one of the things I read was that she had, I guess, suffered throughout the course of her life with eating disorders. And she had confided that in Tom, and he knew that. And so that was one of the things that he would make fun of her for and pick on her for.
Wow.
And that to me is just like repulsive. Like,
that's disgusting.
That's not okay at all.
Yeah.
So in late 1995, so he left his wife in September. So basically in December, like right before Christmas, Anne-Marie actually met another man named Michael Scanlon. And she instantly fell for Michael, probably because he was single, you know, he was available. He was successful, you know.
Right.
I think he was more her age, though. But he had some of the same appeal that Tom had.
Okay.
And so she slowly began trying to distance herself from Tom. But pretty much as soon as Tom realized what was happening, he did not like that. And he did not take it well at all.
Of course.
Yeah. Because then he was not in control anymore. So he basically started to stalk Anne-Marie. He would show up at her home unannounced. He would call her incessantly. And he even went as far as demanding she return all of the gifts that he had given her.
Wow.
So 2 years, or basically, you know, almost 2 years worth of gifts. Who knows how many gifts that is. He was demanding that she return them all as
that's
a gaslighting technique.
Yeah, it's like showing, like, I'm in charge.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So in another journal entry from April 7th, 1996, she wrote, "I have finally brought closure to Tom Capano. What a controlling, manipulative, insecure, jealous maniac. For one whole year, I allowed someone to take control of every decision in my life. However, unfortunately, it seemed as though Tom got his claws back into her and she started feeling guilty, and she continued to see Tom despite his behavior and despite the fact that she was seeing Michael."
And that's just such typical, like, that type of man to, like, guilt her and make her feel like, oh, it was just I just was going through some shit. Like,
I was having a bad day.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the world to me.
So mad.
I'm not mad at you. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah.
We've all heard it.
Oh, yeah.
And if you haven't, you're very lucky.
Yes.
So on June 27th, 1996, Anne-Marie and Tom went on their final date. According to Tom, he took Anne-Marie to a restaurant in Philadelphia called Panorama. I don't know.
Okay.
Not important.
Yeah.
And then he claimed to have dropped her off at her apartment after. According to witnesses at the restaurant, the two did not appear to be very happy during their dining experience.
Okay.
Things seemed very tense. And Anne-Marie barely touched her food, and she got the majority of it to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Their server recalled that there was none of the happy or light chit-chat that was normally exchanged during a dinner date. But after this date, no one ever saw Anne-Marie again.
Oh, no.
She was only 30 years old at the time she went missing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, like, really just getting her life started.
Yeah.
Her family officially reported her missing on June 30th, so just a few days later. So, of course, when she went missing, all signs seemingly pointed to Tom. He told authorities that he took Amory home after dinner, dropping her off at her apartment around 10 p.m., and that was the last he had seen of her.
Okay.
In her apartment, police found her leftovers from the restaurant still on the counter, and the dress that she had been wearing slung over a chair.
Okay, so seemingly looks like she went home, put her leftovers down, took her dress off.
Right.
Okay.
But according to those who were close to her, this was not like Anne-Marie at all.
Oh.
She was very neat, very tidy. She liked things very orderly. So she would have came home, put her leftovers in the fridge, put her clothes in the, you know, hamper or washer or whatever, hung her dress back up, whatever, and gone on with her night. So red flag right away. Yep. So Tom was the prime suspect for Anne-Marie's disappearance. Allegedly, he discarded his sofa and the rug underneath the sofa from his home.
Just that's suspicious. Out of nowhere.
Yeah, just randomly out of nowhere, you know. Totally casual.
Yeah.
And authorities would later connect a new rug purchase to the day after Anne-Marie was last seen, as well as an ice chest. I guess a pretty large ice chest.
I wish you guys could see my face right now because my eyes just went so wide.
Like, swerve? Like, okay.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And the ice chest was eventually recovered. I could not find any information if any DNA was in that ice chest. I'm assuming not, based on what we'll get to in just a moment.
But he could have cleaned it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can easily get rid of whatever, you know, and in an ice chest.
To randomly buy an ice chest, like, unless you were going on a trip or like something
fishing
that you
trip
needed.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Like, to randomly buy one and that same time buy a new rug.
Yeah.
That's suspicious.
And both of these things were, like, super easy to link back to Tom, you know?
Right.
Cameras, receipts, all the things.
Like, he definitely did that.
Yeah. And they also found, like, a teeny tiny drop of blood on his baseboards in his home that was later determined to be Anne-Marie's. Obviously, it was not, like, a large amount, so it could have been, you know, whatever.
Right. But it also could have been a spot he missed cleaning up.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Yep. It could go either way on that.
Yeah.
It's also worth noting that it later came out that Tom had had affairs with over 8 women during his marriage.
Wow.
Which doesn't necessarily make you a killer, but it does make you a scumbag. So scumbags are capable of, you know, lots of different things.
I have a question. And you might get to this, but was any of her,
Oh my god.
What? Oh my god, you just scared the shit out of me.
I'm sorry, there's a stink bug. It's actually crawling. Look, the present that you gave me, it's just, where is it? Where'd it go?
Oh my god, no, I see it. Oh!
He's just hanging out.
Oh no.
Do y'all have stink bugs in California?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Ew! Okay, that scared the shit out of me.
I just saw some. I was just like, minding my own business, and I saw something moving, and it scared me. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. Sorry. That scared me. Like, your scream scared me. I was like, oh my god, is there someone behind me again? Like, what the fuck?
Not again.
Oh, okay. Also, we need to open those presents. We did, like, a gift exchange with our friends, and we still haven't opened the gift.
I know.
We need to do that.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Anyway, my question were any of her, like, purse or ID or anything found in her apartment? Like, she would have, like, gone home and put that?
Yeah, everything was in her apartment from the night.
So, like, everything was there to indicate, like, she went home.
I assume that, like, those things were in their typical normal place because it wasn't, like, you know, mentioned that it was, like, out of, you know, order or whatever, like the other things were. So I think everything was there that should have been there.
Okay.
So after an extensive search, The FBI did join in on the investigation, and in July of 1997, so a little over a year later, a federal grand jury heard evidence for over a year.
Wow. That's a long time.
It is. And this is crazy, too. Even the president, the then president of the United States, Bill Clinton, offered up federal assistance for local law enforcement.
Wow. Probably because he, like, dude was connected to, you know, politics and shit, so.
I thought the same thing. I was like, I don't know how to take that, but all right.
Either it's I want to clear his name because he's a politician and we need to clear his name, or we need to find out what the hell happened, because if it's caught and we didn't catch it, we're in trouble.
That's bad for us. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. So then, kind of shockingly, Tom was actually arrested for Anne Marie's murder.
Whoa.
In November of 1997.
Okay, so, like, we were all thinking that, but for it to just randomly be like, he's arrested, holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. So this was 16 months after her disappearance, and this arrest was made without a body, without a manner, or a cause of death.
That's so stupid.
Basically, like, it wasn't, like, no evidence, because there was, like, the rug and the ice chest and the blood. But no major evidence.
Not even a body? Like, yeah. And, like, I'm totally on board that he killed her. But you can't charge, you can't arrest somebody when you don't have the evidence, because then they're going to get acquitted and they can't be tried again.
Yeah. Well, that didn't happen.
Okay.
Before Capano's trial began in October of 1998, more excerpts from Anne Marie's diary were printed in the local paper and shared with the media. I don't really know how I feel about that.
I kind of feel like that was her personal. It's like,
you know,
the Amanda Knox case, when they took, like, the things she had written in prison and went and exposed it. Like, no, I don't like that.
Yeah, I think that was, like, too far. I get the, you know, a couple that they shared, just because it kind of, like, goes along with the evidence and the story and, like, how she was feeling during these times, which portrayed their relationship in a different light.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't like that, I don't think, either. No. And during the trial, it was discovered that Tom had told his longtime mistress, Deborah, the one that I mentioned that he was with for 15 years, that he was being threatened and worried for his safety. And as a result, she ended up purchasing a gun.
Which they
suspect was probably the murder weapon used to kill Anne Marie, which is a jump. It is a jump.
Yeah.
But sneaky that he had her buy it instead of purchase it. Now, eventually, Deborah does turn against Tom, and she does testify against him in the trial.
Okay.
Which, like, good for you, because, like, he probably treated you the same way.
Yeah, exactly. Good, yeah, she got her revenge.
Yeah. So Tom's defense team actually tried to claim that Deborah was the one who killed Anne Marie accidentally, and that they're really, like, jumping, like, way over all kinds of hurdles.
Well, that's what you have to do when you don't have an actual defense.
Exactly. So they claim that she and Tom had had an argument. I assume that they think that she was jealous of Anne Marie and Tom's relationship, and they had an argument. They began struggling with the gun, which resulted in the gun firing and striking Anne Marie. So, like, maybe, like, walking in on them or whatever.
Right.
But the jury, after listening to all of the evidence for over 12 weeks...
Oh, my gosh.
They didn't buy the Deborah being the murderer
thing. Yeah, no. I don't blame them for not being able to come to a conclusion without a reasonable doubt, because there's just not enough evidence for anything.
Oh, they come to a conclusion.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. So, despite... this is crazy. I feel like there's, like, only, like, two cases ever that this has happened. But despite not having a body or even an absolute cause of death or even knowing that she's dead, period, they convicted Tom of first-degree murder, and he was sentenced to death by lethal injection.
Did... I have no words.
I told you this case is crazy. I told you it is I can't believe I haven't heard this because it is actually insane because I feel like it should be on a list, you know, of
yeah.
people that were convicted without a body. Because I know that there's at least one other case. I can't remember the case off the top of my head, but there's at least one other case where they convicted someone without a body of murder and they
yeah.
were sentenced and... You know, all that. No appeal
Holy
and everything.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm speechless. I have no words.
Yeah.
Not only was he convicted without a body, but sentenced to death?
Sentenced to death by lethal injection. Yep.
That is, I mean, again, I think he did it. But
I do too.
Holy shit. That's not usually the way that this type of stuff goes.
No. Normally it goes the opposite fucking direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in January of 2006, the Delaware Supreme Court affirmed Capano's conviction, but they actually
wow.
remanded the case for sentencing because the death penalty was imposed by a non-unanimous jury verdict. So, in February of that year, the state did abandon its efforts to seek capital punishment, opting to leave Capano in prison for life without parole, which is
okay.
still amazing. And probably better, honestly, because, like, if there's a small chance he didn't do it, he's still an asshole and deserves to be in prison.
Yeah, true. True.
But, unfortunately, or I don't know, maybe not unfortunately, because that's whatever, but... On September 19th of 2011, at 12:34 p.m., Tom was found dead in his jail cell by an officer performing a routine security check at the James T. Vaughn Correctional Center in Smyrna, Delaware.
Oh.
So, it was determined by the medical examiner that Tom died of cardiac arrest. Evidently,
oh,
I guess.
So it wasn't suicide.
No, it wasn't. I guess while he was in prison, I don't know, he like got really unhealthy and overweight. Like he wasn't an overweight guy to begin with, but he had like a lot of health problems
okay.
and he died of cardiac arrest. Karma?
Wow.
Maybe?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think so.
So sadly, Anne Marie's body has never been recovered to this day. It is thought by many that Tom's jealousy is what really caused her death, that he had a fit of rage and shot Anne Marie unexpectedly when she probably tried to finally break up with him that night.
Yeah.
And that he put her body into the ice cooler and had his brother drive over 60 miles into the Atlantic to get rid of her body. Sadly, we'll never probably know what really happened to Anne Marie, and
yeah.
she and her family will never truly get the peace that they so badly deserve.
Yeah. But wow,
yeah.
I did not think that this was the way the story was going to go. I thought it was going to be, he was never charged, he was never
right.
convicted. Like,
because, I mean, he's a politician, or he's not a politician, but he's linked to politicians. He's like a lawyer
right.
for politicians. And, you know, unfortunately in this country, they, you know, sometimes they get away with stuff.
Yeah.
So I was very surprised myself when.
I'm shocked.
Because I was like, wait. No body, no DNA, besides like a teeny drop of blood in his house, which could have been caused from her nose or her, you know, period or whatever.
Yeah.
And he got convicted.
That never happens.
It really doesn't.
Like, guys don't even get convicted in cases like this when there's, when there's
like
actual evidence.
Yeah, like yeah. obvious evidence. I know, it's so crazy, but I really think
wow.
that he was guilty. Get away.
Yeah.
Stupid
you stink bug is back.
Yes, he's like really going fast. Yeah. So I do feel in my, you know, gut that he did it. And if he didn't do it, that he had something to do with it.
Yeah. I think you're right. There's just too much. And there's, like, no other reason she would have been killed.
Yeah. Like, she, why would she have just vanished after all that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Wow. That was, like, I mean, it's so heartbreaking, but that was such a good ending.
I know. I wish they, it makes me so sad when, like, you know, it's been so many years and they still haven't found, like, the person, but, you know, I hope that her family does have a little bit of, like, solace by the fact that he was put in prison. And, you know, even though he died in prison, he still served, you know, some time. So I hope that they have a little bit of feeling of justice, but just trying to live your life without knowing where your loved one is and, like, their body or, you know, is still out there.
And not being able to lay them to rest.
Yeah. That always breaks my heart, but.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I will, as always, be posting on our Instagram and our Facebook, Inhuman Podcast or Inhuman _podcast on Instagram, and then Inhuman, a True Crime Podcast on Facebook. So you guys can see the beautiful Anne Marie and the scumbag Tom. If you have, what was I going to say? Why was I saying that? I don't even know what I was going to say. I was going to say, if you have any questions, leave them in the comment section.
That's you too.
Yeah, I don't know why I was going to say that. But thank you guys always for listening. And I hope this episode, you know, gets on Apple Podcasts and we don't have any issues with it.
I have good news. I was able to re-upload the audio and I think it's working.
Yay. Yep. It's playing.
Woohoo! Okay.
Awesome.
Episodes available.
Yay. So you guys will have two episodes to listen to and then a bonus episode on Friday. What? This is crazy.
I'm just giving you all the content.
I know. You guys asked for it, so here it is.
Yeah.
Take it while you can get it. But anyway, so yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for all your ratings and reviews. We've been loving getting those. We got a lot recently.
We love you guys.
Keep doing that. Keep rating and reviewing us. You can rate us on Apple and Spotify now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So keep doing that. We love you guys so much. And until Friday and Monday, keep it human.
Bye.